pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Premier League is on an international break, so the owners have taken time to count their money and wait, where's all the money?
They're like the bad Scrooge McDuck in playoffs.
Playoffs?
We're talking playoffs. USL playoffs are upon us, and there's a lot to discuss.
We have some favorites and not-so-favorites coming up on My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Safe. Sanitized. Scary as hell.
The Haunted Web. The largest, most disturbing haunt in Memphis. The Haunted Web at the corner of Perkins Road and I-240 is three horrific haunted attractions in one safe and sanitized all-indoors location. Dare to venture into the swamp to face a century-old curse in the all-new Voodoo Village. Madness is the cure in the Slot Sanitarium. And if you're still not broken, enter the depths of Web Falls Penitentiary to experience solitary confinement. The Haunted Web at the corner of Perkins Road and I-240. Voted number one in Memphis, number one in Tennessee, and one of the top haunts in America. Get tickets now at hauntedweb.com. Safe, sanitized, scary as hell. Hauntedweb.com. Mask required. Now open.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
The Premier League is off this weekend because of the international break, but we are not.
No, we are going in hard. Tim, I guess. I don't know.
It's the weekend.
We're going in studs up.
Might as well not hold back, for sure.
Right.
So as we head into the break, Everton, of course, 4-4. They're sitting atop, and then you've got Aston Villa. Wait, hang on. Aston Villa, Leicester, Arsenal, Liverpool sitting in second.
That was such a hard double take at that.
Well, and the double take is that Aston Villa sitting in second, and they have a match in hand, so they could actually catch Everton with a win and surpass them. They already have a superior goal differential after three games compared to Everton's four. So Aston Villa could be sitting on top of the damn Premier League in a couple of weeks.
Did not call that.
You know, that's a headline in and of itself, but there's so many other things that are going on beneath the surface. And speaking of Everton, and also speaking of one of our favorite goal scorers from last year, Danny Ings, who almost got the golden boot. Jamie Vardy, of course, pulling that off.
But he got the party.
Jamie Vardy, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, two of a trio of guys who got their opening goal ever for England earlier in the week against Wales in an international friendly. Of course, the Nations Cup action this weekend. That's why.
I thought you scored that in that match, too.
No, I did. I did not score that match, but I did pick up a brace in the Liechtenstein-Luxembourg match earlier in the day.
That was another one.
You know, there was nothing on a couple of days ago, and I had gotten all my work done, and I was so bored. It's like, you know what? that it's like stale milk or bad milk. You know what? Yeah. Hey, there's nothing else. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this match. And yeah. and I guarantee you maybe 10% of those guys were actually born in those countries. They had to have, you know, parents or grandparents that were,
sure.
you know, had ties to the country.
Yeah. But lots of goals.
Lots of goals. And
it was a good old American soccer match there.
Well, I think the match was in Luxembourg, I think. So I'm not sure if that was a socially distanced crowd or if that was the entire country that turned out.
It might have been. And due to the travel restrictions, the visitors couldn't show up. So yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. And it's a nice distraction, but also, you know, there's been some recent headlines, and it's obviously with the last several months, the crowds that make the game so wonderful having been there. And
well, make the game, make the club, make the league when you start boiling it down.
And it's now become a problem.
Yeah. Well, especially this latest headline saying that who's in jeopardy are a lot of clubs in the Premier League, in the Champions League, and lesser, saying that there's just not enough revenue coming in to sustain a club. It's just not possible with no fans able to join. And the potential is till March 2021 that some of those Premier League clubs might not make it through this.
Wait, did you say Premier League?
Yeah. We're all the way up.
Are you naming names? Did this article name names?
Articles didn't quite go into the amount of names, but there was an exec at Man U who came out and said, we have to have fans. Like, it's getting down to the point where, you know, there was over a billion pounds that was on the transfer window that was spent changing hands. So, you know, when you start talking about £1 billion, which roughly translates to like $1.3 million, you know, that adds up.
I could see Brighton. I could see Burnley having problems.
Real issues.
I could see Sheffield United having problems, not because of the struggles that they're having on the pitch, but you think of the cities that are, you know, more the mid-major cities.
Yeah.
Leicester City, which had multiple lockdowns in the off-season with the coronavirus, and you take those cities, and maybe even, you know, maybe even a Newcastle or a Birmingham to an extent, because you got Aston Villa too. I mean, you could see, I could see where there are some clubs that have that problem because not everybody has Dave Ramsey managing their money.
Right, and here's the thing, you know, when you start looking at the TV money that comes in for Premier League, that helps greatly. And that could be the difference in the Premier League. But Champions League and the lessers do not have that kind of cash flow coming in from the television market. So they're looking at like a 250, what was it? £250 million just to sustain for a season.
I can see a few of the championship clubs being okay, especially the ones that just hit the relegation drop for the fact that they do have a cash infusion coming from parachute payments. But again, that doesn't necessarily paper the cracks of all the sins that are on the wall.
And is that a £250 million situation? Because that's quite substantial, and there's no, you know, Brexit isn't going to come in and save the day with a payout.
Right.
You know, they're looking at it going, no, we have to feed people.
Well, then you go beneath that and you look at League One.
Yes.
You look at League Two. You look at Conference. And beneath, you start looking at those where you have guys that are one and two, probably on okay wages. Some of the players are probably on good wages, not enough to retire on, but to be comfortable with good living wages. But then you have, you know, Conference and below, and you may have some guys that are having to run camps, have other jobs in the off season, and that is being really threatened because these clubs are, many of them are so much in debt and leveraged to the hilt on player salaries, on overspending, on what the market artificially bore because of the hope that, oh, this TV money will come in at this level. Now, I think there's maybe a little more austerity in the lower levels because they know that, you know, unless they get promoted two or three times over, that money's not coming in. But what it does with these crowd issues, it does hurt in any potential FA Cup runs against some of the superior superiorly seeded teams. If you have a League Two side or maybe a conference side or where whoever going up to Premier League team to play at Manchester United, you might get thumped, or you might not this year, but you might get thumped, or to a Liverpool, but you're going to get some of that gate money on top of that TV money, because if you watch those early rounds, the hope has always been the best thing for us to do is win would be great, but it would be even better if we drew and then went to that other team, got the replay TV rights money, and then split the gate with them. And oftentimes Premier League teams will offer a larger share of that gate as a courtesy to smaller clubs. They don't have to, but they do it.
And this year, that I doubt that courtesy would be offered in the same regard.
Well, they can't.
Yeah, well, yeah, they can't. Well, okay.
Or you know, Ed Woodward or whoever can, you know, pull out a tenner or a 20-pound note and hand it, because there's no gate.
Right.
It's like, here's 20, you know, buy the guys a 12-pack.
And you know what's interesting is that this isn't just affecting the men's Premier League. This is also affecting women's Premier League, which is really interesting, as we had a lot of U.S. women's national team greats go over to the Premier League, women's Premier League side, and start mixing it up over there. You know, they're no longer playing for the U.S. women's Major League Soccer.
The NWSL.
And stuff, you know. So they're no longer playing on stateside. They're playing over on European turf for the reason of, hey, listen, we're going to show our dominance. And listen, more power to them. I think, you know, it's going to put, you know, more stripes on the banner there, and it looked great for us for them to play over there. However, they're not going to make any money. You know, you got to at this point do it for the love of the game, and you know, if the love of the game is your also livelihood, that's just not a good mix.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. So, in the meantime,
obviously, there's no definitives. You know, you know, this lockout for the crowd, it has the potential to be March 2021 before people come back in full tilt.
And it's a contributing factor, much like COVID itself. It's a comorbidity, but really, this is really just revealed a bigger problem that's been around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is like pulled back the curtain the whole way, and there's Oz, who's sitting on a stool instead of the great and powerful that is, you know, the Premier League.
Yeah.
So
I loved that visual. That was good.
Thank you.
That was very nice.
Thank you.
Let's
pull back that lion head curtain thing that they have. You know.
Let's slide away from the Premier League and let's talk a little bit about the USL Championship. I know that's kind of a quantum leap in a different direction.
Playoffs.
But there's playoffs.
Playoffs.
We got playoffs. And they're going to be underway this weekend. 16 clubs, two from each of the groups, are making their way toward the cup run. And it's an interesting setup, because it looked like for the most part Birmingham Legion was going to be hosting a first round match, and then Charlotte nipped them at the end with Memphis 901 FC winning their final match, which we need to address in a few moments too.
Yeah, we will.
Because I mean, that had huge ramifications on Group G.
We played spoilers so hard.
Yeah,
I mean, we were mean.
Pretty ruthless, to be honest.
Those last two matches, man, we were just O'Doyle rules.
It was it was pretty incredible.
And I can't say that anymore, because he's not on the team anymore.
No, but we will mention him in a moment. I've got something to say about Liam Doyle coming up. Looking at the list of matches, there's 8 matches on tap for tomorrow. I mean, it's like soccer tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We're getting a babysitter tomorrow night. My kid's staying at grandma's.
Oh, good.
For many of you, it's a soccer fest, but she and I met playing soccer, so we love it. So for us, it's foreplay.
Hot.
So in Group G, the winner, Charlotte Independence, they'll take on Charleston Battery, which should be a highly competitive match. My pick of this entire round is going to be one of the other early games, and that is Hartford Athletic, who have had just an incredible second season. In fact, they won their group. They're going to be taking on St. Louis FC. And from here on out, it's loser leave town match.
Yeah.
For St. Louis FC, as they will not be a club next year. So every match could be their last match.
I'm going to be honest with you. That is a lion walking into just an absolute bloodbath, because St. Louis has nothing to lose. They have everything to gain with the glory, I mean. And if I was playing St. Louis, I'd sit there and go, listen, we need to make sure that every T is crossed, every I is dotted, because this team is reckless abandonment at this point.
Hartford. I'm looking at Hartford's numbers here in the East. And other than Louisville City having a superior goal differential, Hartford had the top number of points at 35 with Louisville. Louisville had a goal differential of plus 16. Mm. Hartford was a plus 7. Pittsburgh Riverhounds got edged out.
Well, and you know, that's going to be a match too. We'll talk about that in a second. But you know, I think right now at this point, St. Louis has to be your favorite to go. You know, just like the Cinderella kind of.
I'm going to call it
blaze of glory,
Brody. I'm going to call it a sentimental favorite. I'm calling St. Louis in the East, and then I'm going to call San Antonio in the West.
Okay,
and for different reasons. So, in the USL Championship tomorrow, you've got Charlotte and Charleston, you've got Hartford and St. Louis on Saturday, and then you've got Tampa Bay and Birmingham. And at this point, I think Birmingham is kind of reeling. They kind of back their way into this.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay looks like the usual Tampa Bay who can dominate in the East. So
Did we talk about Pittsburgh and Louisville City yet? Because I'm going to say Pittsburgh.
That's 1A of the best of the round.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, all you Yinzers up there know what you're doing. So
what?
Yinzers. That's what Pittsburgh is. They say Pittsburgh.
Yinzers.
Yinzers, yeah.
Never heard that.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
I got to get around more.
Man, you got to go to YouTube and look up Yinzer speak.
Okay.
It's great.
All right.
That's how my aunt speaks all the time, and you need a translator. I'm not kidding.
Subtitles. Just need subtitles on everything, on video calls, subtitles.
Thank God the new Siri app has Translate, because you just hold it up to her mouth, and you're like, okay, I got you, Aunt Kathy. Thank you.
Reno and LA Galaxy 2 out west. Jeez.
I miss my family up there.
Maybe the best out in the West, the best matchup in the West, New Mexico United going to San Antonio. And San Antonio was outstanding in this short run. They picked up Liam Doyle.
It's going to help their backs.
Yeah, I don't think he's gotten into a match yet, but he does provide insurance on the bench, a little veteran leadership, a little cover if need be.
As we know, Doyle off the bench is just as dangerous, if not more, I think, especially in those later minutes. So, that's a good pickup for him.
It's a very good pickup. They ended up a plus 16 on goal differential. FC Tulsa came in second. Rio Grande Valley Toros were so awful. They had 9 points, and they had played 14 games, and they're like, screw it, you don't even need to do the last two. Just
really?
Yeah, just hang it up. They only played 14.
Poor guys.
Yeah, not good on them, but I do suspect San Antonio has a decent path to get toward Phoenix and maybe
Phoenix, you know, rising.
And Reno may even surprise, but El Paso and FC Tulsa, that's one if you're looking in between matches or the San Antonio games at halftime, flip over to El Paso and Tulsa. I think you'll enjoy that one. And then the late game is Phoenix hosting Sacramento.
Phoenix got that one. Come on. I'm ready to play pick'em. Phoenix has that all day.
Yeah, I think they're going to be just fine there. But it's good to see that the league is just putting them all back to back to back to back to back to back to back. And so you can just go on ESPN3 and you can just stick around for that for a while. But we mentioned Group G and the spoiler that Memphis 901 FC played in the final couple of matches of the year, and beating Birmingham Legion last week 3-1.
And it wasn't like it was a laid down Birmingham team. There was a lot of try out there. There was something on the line.
Our guy Trevor Spangenberg was in goal, mm-hmm. and early on he got called upon 2, 3, maybe 4 times to to parry some crosses away, handled some shots very well. And to his defense, all three goals were
great.
Were beautiful. And I think there might have been a little bit of a breakdown on defense, because Cal Jennings was just absolutely on fire. I know on that third goal, Trevor was just beside himself and angry that I think maybe Jennings wasn't picked up as well. But you can chalk some of that up to just Jennings just being everywhere.
I mean, shiver me timbers, Jennings. That's all I'm going to say.
So the pirate theme.
I keep telling you, man, watch out for Captain Jennings.
Cal scored the first goal of the match in the 36th minute. A few minutes later, Lapa scored for Birmingham. He has been trouble for us all year. So even at 1-1, it felt a little different last week. Like, okay, we've still got a grasp on this game. This doesn't feel like here we go yet again.
And why is that? Well, I mean, because it did not feel the same, Tim. The club, the guys out on the pitch, because we were there, we got to see them kind of reel back and, okay, set back up, reset for the kickoff again. When they came back to that setup, it was like, whoa, don't do this in my house. And it was a very different stance. It was a different poise from the club.
They were They were ready for the kickoff. It wasn't like, oh, let's ease our way back. It's
boo, here we go.
And then, less than 10 minutes after the break, Jennings got his second. Then he completed the hat trick with about 5 minutes to go in normal time to seal his first career hat trick. And 901 FC won that match by a score of 3-1. Jimmy Haig had a good match. Mm-hmm. It was Mark Birch's last match as a professional. And I know that we'll have some sound, kind of doing, I guess, a post-mortem on the season.
Sure.
For next week. But Mark is done, and he had a few comments on a variety of things, namely that really he's not going to slow down because he's got a couple of young kids.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were twins. So good on him.
His wife is a saint.
Yes.
So
yes.
Congratulations to Mark and glad.
Sorry, honey, I gotta go train. No, you don't. You're retired.
That was just a fun night. Ben Pierman, who normally stays kind of in the back, as the assistant, he was very vocal after the match, heaping his praise from the back line all the way up front. He loved the energy. He loved the resiliency. Even he agreed that it didn't feel like that they were in trouble even at 1-1. They thought that they had a proper grasp of the match. The match did get a little physical, and then a little kerfluffle, at the end of the match. It really wasn't that. It wasn't much, and it's funny because really Keanu was just, there was nothing much to it.
Right.
But then there was a comment made on social media, and then Keanu's mom chimes in and says something about stop the thuggish behavior, and he wasn't acting thuggish.
No, he just walking off probably said,
scoreboard.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
Probably.
Scoreboard, mate.
And, that hurt somebody's feelings and triggered them. And,
you don't know me, man.
I don't associate thuggish and Keanu Marsh Brown.
No.
Nice guy.
Get out.
Pretty soft-spoken. Very friendly. Very competitive on the pitch. He had a good night as well.
Yeah.
Whipping in some crosses.
And you know what was fun, too, is about the we'll say 55, 60th minute, you saw 901 FC having fun on the pitch, which is something we hadn't seen. You know, they're laughing, carrying on. Oh, that was a bad pass. Ah, I'll get you next time. You know, that sort of where you pick up games and you're like, my bad, man. You know?
Yeah. And
it was good to see.
They had plenty of shots. They had 11 shots. 6 of them were on target. So that's a good trend.
Yeah.
Where they're peppering the goalkeeper. They were working the goalkeeper. It wasn't like, oh, there was our chance. Now we're not going to have Jack Squat for 20 minutes. It was pretty consistent. They were getting some opportunities.
Great counters.
Jose Baxter looked good in the match. He swung a couple of shots. He was trying to aim for that back post a couple of times. Missed those wide, but he was very active, very ambitious out there. And like I said, Jimmy Haig was steady at the back. I thought our defense did
great.
Very well.
Midfield in the back four, really, 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 this was their match. And maybe it was a showing out, showing up for Mark. At his last,
Mark looked re-energized. He looked like his back wasn't hurting him.
Right.
And we've got some comments about when he thought that was going to, when he knew it was time to hang it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, he looked good. And then Leston Paul, of course, being the very physical self that he is. And then I guess up top, I mean, what
it was
else
a different club, man. It was a different club the last match from the rest of the season. And I don't know what is the contributing factor to that. You know, was the mentality just like, well, whatever, we're just going to go have fun against Birmingham and win, and Birmingham's going to lose and they're going to be sad and sore about it, and next season will be next season and we'll take it out, we'll take the air the grievances then. I don't know what the difference was.
I do know that I don't know what was said to change things.
And Ben Pearman
will tell you there has not been a culture change, that there's been no culture change in 18 days.
Right.
But I am kind of curious to know.
Maybe he changed the Gatorade. I don't know.
Might have. Well, and it's cooler weather, too. It was an absolutely gorgeous night for soccer. It was a great night. But 9-0-1 coming out in a 4-2-3-1, and that seemed to work very well for them. And now they ended up winning two of their last three games. So Ben Pearman, 2-1 as the interim manager.
Not a bad little thing to put on the resume.
And mathematically, listen, I know we're splitting hairs here, but statistically, 901 FC did end up being incrementally better points-wise than they were last year.
Yeah.
34 points in 34 games. This year, 16 points in 15 games. Again, very incremental.
But
doesn't show much in the way of progress, but, you know, thankfully, 6 points... in the, you know, two out of the last three was
you
good.
You ended with a high note, and that's how you always want to end a season.
It's on the high. It's a great marketing tool.
It is a great marketing tool. There was a lot of nice little captures there for the promo video for next season, and it's going to be great, okay? That being said, though, next season, we just don't know. And we're going to talk about that, I think, next week when we do a little bit of hurrah. But
I will say this, and I'm just going to leave it here because I know that there can be deeper discussions. Ben Pearman did not do anything to lessen his chances to become the next head coach.
No.
By no stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. In fact, I think he bettered his chances.
He lose out.
Nobody bats an eye at Ben Pearman. Honestly. He lose out. Nobody says, okay, you know what? You know, yeah, there was that guy, Ben. But now, his name is right up at the top of that list. It has to be.
And at the very worst case scenario, I did that. 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Came in.
It's a resume builder, man. Shoot. Good for you, Ben Pearman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buddy.
I don't think he wore socks in the press conference. Do you know if he wore socks or not? I know he had the white tennis shoes, which are the cleanest shoes I have seen.
That wardrobe was the freshest thing that I've ever seen Ben Pearman don ever. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, listen, if that plaid shirt tie combo that he wore.
Roll with it, baby. Roll with
and
it.
And that was his lucky suit, then do it. But he last match wore these high waters with the no socks, white tennies, blazer look. And good on you, man. He pulled it off. I could not.
I mean, when you're in charge, you wear whatever you want. If he's comfortable and he's winning in it, and
nobody said anything about it.
Well, no, he looked fine. I mean, he looked normal. No, I mean, looked normal. I mean, on a soccer.
You and I noticed it, but that's only because we're staring at his ankles.
Well, it was the white shoes on a soccer pitch. Nobody wears white anymore,
right?
Because you got dark shoes usually,
and it's after Labor Day or Memorial Day or
something like that. Couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier for Ben. You could tell he was thrilled with the win. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to go in more in depth. And we've both made our peace with, you know, if they take that interim tag off, we'd be very excited.
A plus. Okay. Let's back it up, though, to the playoffs. Who's your pick to win it all from the East?
I'm going to go, if I go East and West, St. Louis is sentimental.
Yeah.
My head says probably not, but my heart says they've got enough guys that want to go out with a bang because St. Louis is a family and a community soccer town. they may be able to muster up enough after watching what Kyle Morton did basically on one leg at Indy for the last 25 minutes of that match and what the defense did for him. I mean, they not only did they circle the wagons, they did something else more than circling the wagons. Right. I don't know what the next step would be, but right. Not only did they do that, but they did more than that. But I could see them really when you only need what? Round of 16, 8, 4. You need 4 wins. I could see them running off 4 wins if they don't do anything stupid and pick up any critical red cards mm-hmm. along the way.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to hit buzzsaw. You know they're going to hit a buzzsaw in
Louisville or Pittsburgh.
I mean, Pittsburgh would be one of those. Louisville, if I mean, the thing is that's going to cull out the top, though. You know, you have to realize, like, Pittsburgh is going to run into their own bit of issue.
And I want to throw this dark horse out there as well, because there are not enough clubs that have physically seen Hartford to maybe right. figure them out in person. Now, there's a lot of tape on them, which is helpful, but I would even go dark horse Hartford, although, you know, not much in the way of playoff pedigree mm-hmm. going into the playoffs. In fact, this will be their first playoff game. Out west, don't count out Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's my pick.
I don't count out San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And
San Antonio's made moves, and that's what you have to worry about.
And I would not, if I were to give an honorable mention, maybe Reno. Maybe.
There's no one in the West that's playing with the reckless abandonment that I see with St. Louis, you know, for instance.
Well, they're the only ones that are going to lose their club. I mean, everybody's playing for a new contract.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that St. Louis, yes, is playing for glory, but Pittsburgh is also playing for glory from Louisville. You know, you got to see that. Like, I feel like there in the East, there's like this little, anything you can do, I can do better, and watch me. Watch me do it, you know, especially between Louisville and Hartford or Louisville and Indy. You know, I mean, look at what happened to Indy.
Now watch it be Charleston and Tulsa in the damn final.
I know.
And then we'll just be totally off.
Well, whatever.
Hey, it could be Tulsa.
It might be, you know.
Yeah, if it's Tulsa, I mean.
USL is weird, man. Pick them and watch them burn.
You know, I guess they do some betting lines on those games, right?
Yeah. I need
to watch and see what the bettors are thinking on this.
Oh, I bet them. Don't do it. I don't recommend it. I'll tell you who I pick and then bet against me, and then you'll win.
We got any other business to clean up?
I mean, at this point, MLS is what it is. Basically, Nashville's in it to win it. If they don't, they don't. And that's it.
They're in a playoff
to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a playoff spot, but they have a match in hand. A win would push them up as high as 7th, given the right results over the weekend.
They just need to play at home. That's all they need to do. They just need to say, "Hey, listen, we feel
sort of the Titans, but you know they can't get a negative test."
I know, Nashville.
Jeez. What is?
What are y'all doing?
What is?
Quit going? Sneezing on people! Jeez, cover your mouth.
What is going on up there?
As a Memphis boy, this is really fun. Anyway,
any other business we need to clean up?
Nah, man, I think that'll do it for us. If there's something that we need to keep our eye on, then of course send us a message via our Gmail. You can email us at my3subspodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up Facebook, Twitter. We are at my3subspodcast, and then on Instagram, my3subsoccerpod.
And we are working on some more guests in the coming weeks. We'll have some terrific ones. We got a couple that we've put a pin in that will be joining us mm-hmm. very soon. But sometimes we just got to stop and break down what's happening in the soccer landscape and not take up your entire hard drive with right. one episode. So, right. So that's what we try to do.
This episode's 8 hours.
I think that's it from here. I am going to take a little vacation next week. I'm gonna wind down a little bit. I'll be in San Antonio for a bit, so I'm going to see if I can snag a ticket.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Maybe go catch up with Liam Doyle in San Antonio. I almost called them the Scorpions. That was their NASL name, but right. not Spurs, you know. Adam, San Antonio FC, but that's a beautiful stadium there. So
they have to namesake everything the same way. Them in Pittsburgh, same way. Everything's black and yellow.
And they have a splash of red, but yeah, there's some silver and black. There's a lot of silver and black in the crest, though.
Yeah.
To your point about San Antonio.
That's what true. I'm saying. San Antonio is also
Memphis does the same thing though with Redbirds and 901.
I know, and I love it. because you can wear a jersey to everything.
Or just the same color scheme and you just blend right in.
Right.
You're local.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey,